Over the years, you've heard the jokes about the air in New Jersey. You know, let me go outside and grab a chunk of fresh air. Yeah, we'd laugh, but air quality in New Jersey was definitely not a joke. Recent years saw people at all levels in the state take this issue a lot more seriously. So, have all those new policies and changes and practices made a difference with the air in New Jersey? Our first guest today is here with the findings of a report that gives the answer to that question. It's called the American Lung Association's State of the Air Report. He is the National Assistant VP for State Public Policy with the American Lung Association, Michael Seelback. How are you today, Michael?
I'm doing well. How are you?
Good to have you here to talk about this and show New Jersey at least trying to go in the right direction. Lung.org, that's the website for the American Lung Association. On the homepage, you'll see a link to look up the State of the Air Report, not just for New Jersey, but if you're listening on the stream anywhere else, the state that you happen to reside in. So talk about the mechanics of this report, Michael. What does it look to present?
Sure. So our report, it looks backward. So it looks at the years 2019, 2020, and 2021. That's the most recent quality assured data that we have from these monitors that are continuously monitoring various air pollutants. Our report looks at particle pollution, which some people refer to as soot, and ozone pollution, which some people refer to as smog. They are both lung irritants in that they could cause lung disease. They could even cause premature death, but they're also widespread. So those are the reasons why we look at those two air pollutants.
And even though the report information is widespread, you can always compare report to report and ascertain what's happening right and wrong off the trends between two reports.
That's exactly right. So we've been doing this report now for 24 years. So you can just put in your zip code and pull up a chart looking at how air quality has changed. And when it comes to New Jersey, the trends are actually really great. Over the 2.5 decades that we've been doing this report, we've seen air quality continuously improve. We are at a point this year where most counties in New Jersey are receiving their best grades ever for ozone pollution. When it comes to particle pollution, it's a little less positive. We saw four counties actually worsen grades this year. And the reason why we're seeing particle pollution increase in New Jersey is primarily because of wildfires. Those large, massive wildfires out on the western part of the United States is generating a whole lot of particle pollution that's traveling across the country and influencing, you know, not just the folks that are nearby, but the entire eastern seaboard is seeing worse particle pollution grades because of wildfires.
Is it always surprising when you see stats, like, for example, with the 31-county New York-Newark metro area, that includes 13 New Jersey counties in the northern part of the state. They improved for ozone, but they went from 12th to 14th worst in the country, and that's a lot because of high ozone days. There were certain elements that happened sporadically as opposed to practices and policies that are having things being created consistently.
Yeah, so it is interesting. And so, you know, sort of diving in further. So ozone is formed on those really hot, sunny, steamy days. Usually it's several of those days in a row. And what happens is up in the atmosphere, some what's called volatile organic compounds and nitrogen oxide are cooked up, basically, creating ozone, which is an invisible gas. And so what we're seeing is that climate change is creating longer and hotter summers, making the conditions even more ripe for ozone production. We had some high ozone days just last week when we had those couple of days of you know 80s and 90 degree weather, and we're sure to have more of those in the coming weeks and over the summer. But what we're seeing is, you know, as I mentioned, the trend is moving in the right direction, and that shows that the policies are working, that we're reducing the amount of pollutants being put out into the atmosphere. But because of climate change, it's even harder to maintain that progress. And that's why, you know, we do still see sort of, like you said, blips where we have elevated levels of ozone.
And Michael did mention how the trends are certainly showing some pretty monumental moves. The Philadelphia, Reading, Camden metro area, which includes seven New Jersey counties, they saw the best ever marks for ozone, ranking 28th worst. And for a long-term measure of the fine particle pollution, this region went from the 46th worst after having been ranked 18th worst in last year's report. That's certainly a wide swing. But again, is that because of a lack of any of those blips, or is that, again, proof that policies can work when it's done correctly and with a strong dedication?
You know, it's probably a combination of both, to be honest. The reason we look at 3 years of data in each report is so that the blips don't have an outsized measurement, so that if there are, you know, a specific incident, a specific wildfire, yes, it's going to change the grade, but it's not going to drastically change the grade like you might see if you were measuring a smaller measure of time. But that's why it's important to look at not only grades year to year, but look at the trends and see if they're moving in the right direction. So it really is, this report gives, it's full of data, and it tells a lot of different things depending on how you're going to look at it. For us, you know, I think the biggest takeaways are that the air is improving, but we need to keep moving forward on these policies because summers are getting longer and hotter. That's going to cause more wildfires. That's going to give environments that are more likely to generate ozone, so that we need to do more on every level, on the personal level, the local level, the state and the federal level, to put forward policies so that we could be moving away from a combustion-based economy and more towards a green economy that is using, you know, cleaner, greener electricity, for example.
Governor Michael Seebach, who is with the American Lung Association, their National Assistant VP for State Public Policy, about their State of the Air report, which you can find and read for not just New Jersey, but every state of the nation at lung.org, and you are listening to Issues and Ideas. As far as the response to where trends are going right to keep them going faster in the right direction, or in places like California, you heard Michael mention smog as part of the elements that create the problems, and you're assuming correctly, California is, when it comes to grades, certainly they get the Fs in more ways than one. But when it comes to policies, the Clean Air Act, for example, has been a great assistance in a lot of areas achieving the quality of air that they're seeing today. It's, I guess the problem becomes, do the local and state governments wait for the federal to do more, or are the state and local governments not doing enough between the two of them? You know, is there a disconnect that's slowing the heading in the right direction down?
Sure. So, you know, I think in our region, state and local governments have always been at the forefront of pushing policy. And clearly there have been times where, you know, those policies have been full steam ahead, and other times where, you know, we have been maybe relying more on the federal government. And there's always that give and take. But we know that if all sides are moving forward, we're going to help get there faster. So, you know, right now we're calling on the Biden administration to continue moving forward with stronger standards for air pollution, for new standards that they've proposed, which would clean up cars and trucks. But at the same time, we're pushing the governor and the legislature on their own policies. So New Jersey is considering a policy which is called the Advanced Clean Cars 2 Standard, which would move us to a place where all cars and trucks being sold would be electric vehicles, and it would really be a monumental shift. So, you know, we think the Biden administration needs to be moving forward at the same time the Murphy administration is, and while, you know, various local governments are doing their part as well.
And certainly with the EV vehicles, that would be a quick and easy and a becoming less expensive way, for at least for the consumers, to address the environmental issues and air quality. But again, going back to government stalling, delaying, and foot dragging, they can't even seem to get together and do the simple planning and initiating of charging stations. It's been talked about and talked about and talked about, but that's the lack of charging stations are making people reluctant, even though that end of combustible engine vehicles is getting closer and closer, but it's making people reluctant to invest in an EV so far.
Yeah, I mean, I think that is a ongoing concern, but we are seeing progress. I think all of us know areas near us where there is an EV charging station that, you know, may or may not be being used most times you pass it, and we're seeing more and more of those. So I think we are starting to change that dynamic. I think, you know, many of us, it's not surprising anymore to see electric vehicles on the road. And that just goes to show that the market is changing. But we do need to make it more affordable. Many of us are not in the market at this point for a new vehicle, let alone a new vehicle that's an EV. But what these proposals would do is provide us a roadmap to get us to a time, 2035, that new vehicles would be all electric. So it feels on one side very close, and on the other side, you know, we still have a long ways to go, and combustion vehicles are going to be on the road long past that date. But if we can get these policies passed and shows that as new vehicles come on the road, they are clean and green, that's going to make tremendous progress.
I call this a quality report because it just doesn't state the here and now. It presents ideas, paths to take that could take the here and now and put it into a better situation in the not-too-distant future as well as the distant future. You can look for at it and decide for yourself as well. It's the State of the Air Report from the American Lung Association. You can find it at lung.org. We've been talking with the National Assistant VP for State Public Policy with the American Lung Association, Michael Seelback. Thanks so much for being here today.
Thanks for your interest. We appreciate it.